step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Gary Hoffman.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
Shannon Farron.
And I'm not going to brag about how much ass I kicked, but let's just say I kicked every single ass.
Gary and Shannon.
Now you're talking like you made a change. The more you talk, the more things sound the same. What makes you think you can just walk back into her? Got a good friend. I just sit back and watch you make a fool of yourself. Cause you're just wasting your time. Oh.
No, you're never gonna get it. God, and Vogue, teaching my 12-year-old self how to have attitude before I knew what it was.
Never gonna get it.
What is it that you're not gonna get?
I
didn't know. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that they were not gonna get it.
Why wouldn't they get it? Is there something? Nick, why would you write something like that?
Nick?
Everybody's working for the weekend?
He's been doing these trite phrases all week just to get under my skin. First it was hump day. Then it was Friday Eve. Now it's everybody's working for the weekend.
Hey, we got a damn fire. This one burning near Azusa, about 40% contained. 217 acres. They said they mapped it out overnight, and it was down from the 240 that they were estimating. So that's good news, considering it's going to be hot as BA double hockey sticks today.
Why is that a phrase, hot as balls?
Sometimes they're hot. I'm just saying.
You know, I actually heard Matt talking about this yesterday on the Petros and Money show.
Mm-hmm. About that phrase?
The temperature.
Oh, the temperature.
Of the genitals.
Yeah.
While he was on vacation. And I thought,
That seems very personal.
It does, doesn't it?
But sometimes the best stories are the ones that are personal.
You know, as stories go that I've heard on the Petros and Money show, I wouldn't say it was one of the best ones I've ever heard. But, you know, we talk about personal stuff, too. I don't know if you've ever talked about the temperature of your genitals on this show.
And you also don't like the being forced to think about
other people's genitals.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then you have to, like, close your eyes. And last night's demonstrations in Portland were mostly calm. That was nice.
I have a question for everybody.
You mean everybody with male genitalia?
No.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
That.
Right.
I want to know if anybody else is getting maskne, like acne that you didn't have because of the mask wearing.
No. Because
I never get zits, and I have two around the mask area.
Hey, you might want to wash your face.
I do.
I don't wear it.
I do wash.
I took another.
I only wear it here.
Yeah.
And then.
Was at the store last night, so I wore it for 10 minutes in the store. But that's it.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening with my face.
And full disclosure, I forgot my mask again today.
You did?
You came into the building without a mask?
I walked all the way from the car
you
to our office.
You can't do that.
Gary.
You can't do that.
I was distracted.
Shame. Shame.
You just wagged your finger at me.
I know. I had someone do that to me the other day.
For shame. Okay.
They have them in the engineering department.
That's why I have. I have one desk that I keep, and I'll have to leave, or I have to remember to bring it back in Monday, I suppose, when I come back up here.
Lakers Clippers was fun last night. They put on a good show. Did not disappoint.
They're gonna have basketball, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be able to continue. It seems like baseball is at a threat right now. They had to cancel yet another game today. The Cardinals are supposed to go to Milwaukee, and they had to cancel because what they said was two Cardinals organization members tested positive. We don't know if it was actual players or if it was coaches, members of the travel team, whatever, travel group, whatever.
So Rudy Gobert, who was the first NBA player to get the COVID after he started touching all the microphones. Remember that whole bit way, way back in what, March? He came out and hit the first basket of the restart of the season and then hit the game winner as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch any basketball last night. It's so weird.
Did you watch baseball?
I did. I watched some of the baseball, and I am a fan, I didn't think I would be, of the automatic runner in extra innings.
Yeah.
The Giants absolutely got trampled by the Padres last night in extra innings, but it was I like that there's something on the line, which surprises me. I thought, as much as I am a fan of the tradition of baseball, that I didn't think I'd like it.
You'll take it, is what I'm hearing.
Well, there's also that.
You know.
All right. The president's coronavirus task force members are on Capitol Hill talking about all kinds of stuff. Let's start with CDC Director Dr. Redfield talking about kids and schools.
I think it is really important. As a grandfather, 11 grandkids, I want these kids back in school. I have one grandchild with cystic fibrosis. I want it done smartly. But I think we have to be honest that the public health interest of the students in this nation right now is to get a quality education in face-to-face learning, and we need to get on with it.
This is the director of the CDC. This is not the president, who's not a doctor. This is the director of the CDC. There's a study we'll talk about in a second as well that CNN has been blowing up right now, and it's about how kids with coronavirus could carry 10 to 100 times more of the virus than adults. There are plenty of questions that they do not address when they talk about this story, but we'll get back to that. Here was Director Redfield, and doctor, I guess, talking with Maxine Waters.
Should a patient be denied access to a potentially life-saving drug like remdesivir because a hospital was unable to comply with a sudden change in HHS reporting requirements?
My understanding is we continue to do everything to make sure remdesivir gets to all patients that would potentially benefit from it.
There are remdesivir is one of the things, one of the tools in our toolbox that we did not have several months ago in terms of treatment, making sure that that the coronavirus doesn't take hold in people's lungs the way it was before. So that's good. Jim Jordan and Anthony Fauci talking about whether or not protests should be shut down like businesses have been.
But because they were in the gym working out, actually running their business, they got arrested. You think that's okay?
You know, I'm not going to opine on who gets arrested and who does not. I mean, I you get where I'm going. I'm telling you, as a public health official, I say crowds.
Do you see the inconsistency, though, Doctor? Does the government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to.
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations.
God, what an a-hole. Why would you have Fauci make a political statement like that?
Well, the thing is, all Jim Jordan needed to do was to get Anthony Fauci to say protests are a very likely spreader for these things. Protests, you know, we saw the third week of June after several weeks
of
protesting.
Well, obviously.
But there's so many people that are so afraid to say that.
Because it's a political statement then.
Right.
Then you're against the protests. Then you're against all of the movements and everything. That's just not fair to put him in that spot. If you want to make a political statement, do it. You're a politician. This guy isn't.
One guy that's been able to fly under the radar in terms of making sure that he's not been politicized and his opinions have not been politicized is Admiral that is a hard name to say.
It is a difficult name, and I will let you take the honors.
Admiral Giroir. And he is the guy who is in charge of making sure that our testing capacity is at a maximum, which it's not.
Protecting the elderly has been, is, and will continue to be a foremost priority for this administration. So on July 14th, we announced that every single nursing home in the nation would receive a point-of-care instrument and enough tests for their residents and staff to be tested. Since March 12th, we have increased our daily testing over 32,000%. Half of these tests are done in either point-of-care technologies with results in 15 minutes or less, or at local hospitals for which the turnaround time is generally within 24 hours.
All of that is good news, but it is still well below where we need to be. And it may be simply a need to more specifically target who and where we test. Those giant group tests that we've talked about, testing where everybody is in a pool. And if you, I mean, for example, if you were to test everybody that works on this floor of the building on a daily basis, you could do everybody's samples in one fell swoop and then determine if anybody comes up positive, then you go through and individually test. Pool testing is one of those things.
That makes so much sense.
And that's what I think they would do or should do, could do for schools, for colleges, for dorms. I mean, all of those things are possible. We just don't have that built out yet.
The problem for the testing and the timetable and people having to wait up to a week for their results back is then you can't do the contact tracing. You know, the time it takes to get your results back should be of utmost priority for them.
And that's perhaps the president will tell you that we've conducted 50 million tests or whatever the number is for the entire country. It's that there has been such a backlog many times with getting those results back. I mean, we see it in those numbers. Every Monday we say this. Oh, you know, the LA County can't pull its head out of its butt, or the labs that they're working with can't figure out how to make somebody report when those tests come in. That's why we have a backlog. That's why every once in a while, Dr. Ferrer has to say, you know, yeah, we had a record number of people, but we also had, this accounts for 2 weeks of backlog that one lab was having a problem processing.
Well, Dr. Fauci seemed optimistic when he talked about a vaccine. He says that once a coronavirus vaccine is approved as safe and effective, Americans should have widespread access within a reasonable time. The hell does that mean? Well, he says that he's cautiously optimistic that a vaccine would be available, particularly by next year. He says, I believe ultimately over a period of time in 2021 that Americans will be able to get it. Now, I think that these health officials are so vague because they don't want to come out and say that we are going to be shut down or operating in a limited capacity for the next year.
Yeah.
I think they're being very careful not to freak people out, not people to go nuts when they hear that there's not going to be a vaccine available widely until next July.
But at the same time, Fauci also said that he thinks this is so contagious, it will likely never disappear.
No.
Which is that's a terrifying thing, because you think of, I would hate to live in a society where we're stuck inside our homes, or where we are told you've got to wear a mask all the time, or, I mean, those types. Listen, there's all kinds of stuff that has never gone away. Flu has never gone away. The cold has never gone away. But we've learned to deal with it. We've learned to minimize the risk, whether it's through vaccines or treatment or whatever it is. So that, you know, that statement, as scary as it is, that this will likely never disappear, there's all kinds of stuff that never disappears.
Federal health authorities are carrying out a plan dubbed Operation Warp Speed to manufacture 300 million doses of a vaccine on a compressed timeline. He says, Fauci says, 250,000 people have expressed interest in taking part in studies of experimental vaccines, that 250,000 people have registered on a government website to take part in a vaccine trial.
Would you?
Sure.
I mean, the way they're doing it, the big ones that we're talking about, phase three trials now, everybody gets a shot. Half of those people get salt water put into their veins, so there's nothing there. But you just go about living your life. And then they determine later on the half that got the salt water and the half that got the actual vaccine, if the transmission rates or the infection rates were affected at all by what you got. There's the study about the kids, though, it's been making headlines and it's bothered me.
There is a study out of Chicago. It says children under 5 may harbor up to 100 times as much of the coronavirus in their noses and throats as infected adults and older children. They're just little viral load harborers.
So yeah, their booger box is full of junk. That's what that says to me. Their kids are... Okay, wait a minute. First of all...
Kids are all full of snot.
Kids are full of snot. We've known that. That's, whenever kids go back to school, if you had kids in school, our kids would always come home with whatever. September was a sick month for everybody. It always is. January also when they go back. My question about this study was conducted between March and April, led by Taylor Held, sergeant of the Ann and Robert Laurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. 145 patients separated into three groups according to their ages. Just about a third of them were kids under the age of five. They carried out nasal swab tests on these patients and showed an onset of mild to moderate symptoms of COVID within 1 week. And by the end, they said that the young children had the equivalent or more viral nucleic acid in their upper respiratory tract compared with older children and adults. Here's the thing that they don't say about this, that the leader of this study actually says, we have no idea how transmissible this is. Yes, the kids may have that higher viral load, but does that mean that the kids are the ones who are transmitting this thing?
And I don't know why we're not further along on the research of this.
I would just imagine it's a matter of time. Like, there hasn't been enough time. But those are the questions that she knows they need to ask.
It's been 7 months.
She does say more studies are needed to look at the transmissibility of SARS-CoV-2 in children.
Why isn't this number one priority?
I don't know. But listen, here's the problem with all of the studies that we've seen. If you find one study, this is the one study that I've seen talking about the infection rates in children, and even that, it's not talking about infection. It's just talking about the boogers that they've got and how virally loaded those boogers are. It doesn't say anything about transmissibility. The leader of the study says...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This says nothing about transmissibility.
And that's what I want to see.
But people are going to use this and say, see, we should not put kids back in school. Why? Because kids have boogers. You know, kids have always had boogers.
I don't know how you could read into it that. I mean, I guess if you just take the headline, but...
Well, it's scary.
It's common sense that kids are full of snot.
Right.
And that they are going to be... It's just common sense.
Plus,
why aren't we studying the transmission rates in kids before... In conversations with reopening the schools, why aren't we doing that?
And if you're an editorial board, if you're a headline writer, if you're the guy who's going to be or the gal who's going to be in charge of this, you're going to say something like... As we talk about opening schools, study finds high viral load in young children. But that they're jumping to a conclusion. They're throwing the fear in there that doesn't need to be in there. Because you can also find, by the way, hydroxychloroquine studies that do show some efficacy. I hate that word.
It's a study for everyone. It's like the coffee is bad for you, coffee is good for you. You're going to find what speaks to you and you're going to cling on to it and not listen to anybody else.
Cling on.
What?
It's funny. It's a funny word.
Why is it funny? Is it because it's Star Trek?
I'm finding happiness today in places I didn't think I would.
Really?
Yes.
Where else have you found happiness?
In Fred Rogan's face.
Where is he?
I saw him in the break room earlier and I said, Fred, I love you.
Did you?
And he just stared at me.
Yeah.
But I told him today we're finding positivity.
No response.
It's a positive effing Friday. And then he said, are they out of plastic forks?
Oh, boy.
This Ghislaine Maxwell story is also going to be a big one today because some of the evidence from a 2015 deposition has been unsealed.
They say that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell used that Caribbean island to host constant orgies. Once flew in a group of European models to fulfill their fetishes, that she had continuous sex with girls and women. Some as young as 15. This is according to Virginia Guffrey, who has accused both Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell of abusing her. This was a 2016 deposition in a civil case against Maxwell.
When asked where she saw Ghislaine Maxwell having sex with other women, she said 100% the Virgin Islands. That's specifically where Jeffrey Epstein had his little orgy island called Little St. James Island. She said the island was a place where orgies were a constant thing that took place. And again, it's impossible to know how many. By a pool, near the beachfront, in small huts, in Epstein's cabana. She said one occasion stands out. Like you said, they were models flown in. There were orgies held outside by the pool. Beautiful, tall, blonde, brown, brunette. She said they spoke in a European language. She thought it was either Russian or Czechoslovakian. Ghislaine, myself, Jeffrey, another girl in this blue outdoor, I don't know what you want to call it, a cabana that a bed could fit in. She said that she had traveled to Europe with the pair on several occasions, trafficked to rich and powerful men, including Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, among others. There's also a Clinton visit to the island that was included in the documentary that was done, Filthy Rich, is that what it's called? Something like that?
Yeah.
And there was no allegation that Bill Clinton took part in any of this.
But if he was even
there. But that he was there. Yeah.
You know, birds of a feather. Ugh. Well, I haven't finished that either, that Dirt Filthy Rich thing, because it just grosses me out. And I don't have an appetite. Like, you're finding joy and happiness in things.
Right.
I like to not go home and watch pedophile television.
I will say that's probably a good decision, because it leaves you unsatisfied in that they talk about his suicide, and you just think it looked so promising, like some of these women were going to have some amount of closure and justice.
Yeah. And he's
this guy,
coward who takes the easy way out.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Ellen issues a statement because she listens to this show, and more employees say executive producers were engaged in all sort of harassment, grabbing penises and everything.
Ooh, and some of the stars we were talking yesterday, where are they to back her up and to come to her aid?
They're not.
At least one of them is saying, oh yeah, I saw this coming.
Gary and Shannon will continue. A burning desire.
This was the other thing. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You want to include them in your signature? That's fine. Right? I don't have a problem with that. It's no skin off my back to refer to you however you want to be referred to.
But
right?
Don't tell somebody that they need to do that as well.
Right. That was the conclusion I came to. And then I saw this headline today. The American Cancer Society has some new cervical cancer screening recommendations. They say that the PAP screening advice is that women start cervical cancer screening at 25 instead of 21, and that HPV testing should begin at 25 rather than 30. Now, the reason that that came up was the American Cancer Society said individuals with a cervix should get those tests done at those times.
Obviously.
No. Isn't there a word for somebody like that? For an individual with a cervix? Haven't we for years
called them women?
Yes, there's that.
Yes. Well, not everybody identifies as a woman who has a cervix.
And that's exactly the point. Transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming individuals can also have a cervix.
Cervixes for everyone.
Everybody.
You get a cervix and you get a cervix.
Nick, do you have one?
Nick? Are you hiding your cervix?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You guys, I found joy. Well, okay. Nick found it.
Okay.
And the joy's name is Wang Wang. Wang Wang is a giant panda that is playing this morning at the Adelaide Zoo. And I just retweeted the footage of Wang Wang playing in a sawdust bath in an oversized hamster wheel.
Well,
and it is just, it is, I could watch this for hours.
Pandas are like the Labradors of bear world.
How is he going to clean off his fur? That's so much sawdust in there.
And that guy's just a brick, isn't he?
Oh, Wang Wang.
Oh, Wang Wang.
It's a Wang Wang Friday. Hey, are we running out of names for hurricanes, P.S.?
Isaias.
Isaias.
Isaias is the hurricane.
Can't
Category
we just
say,
like,
one now.
Hurricane Sam or Hurricane Dave.
About Wang Wang.
Hurricane
oh
Wang
gosh.
Wang.
We'll just call it that.
Who names these things? Who can we write to?
There's a whole deep dive we did about hurricane naming a few years ago. And the names are kind of like set.
They're set years ahead.
Years
of time.
Ahead of time, yeah.
Remember when it used to be only girls? I mean, people with cervixes.
Right. The storm names for 2020 are already, they're already in the books. Arthur, Bertha, Cristobal, Dolly, Eduard, Faye, Gonzalo, Hannah, Isaias.
Isaias.
Is the one we're talking about now. But Josephine, Kyle.
There you go.
Laura, Marco, Nana. I thought that was
Nana.
Interesting. Omar, Paulette, Renee, Sally. That's going to be a good one. Teddy.
Do I get one coming up?
Vicky and Wilfred. Is that Wilf? Yes, Wilfred. Do you get one coming up?
I would like one.
I don't know.
I think since they had Marco, they should have had Polo this year, too.
That would have been funny.
Just saying.
But then it kills people, and it's not so funny.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, we went
But people
this.
Are going to have a hell of a time of saying Isaias if this thing becomes a thing.
Yeah, well, it's going to be. It's gonna, whether it's a hurricane or tropical storm, Isaias, they're going to be up and down the west east coast, sorry, for some time.
Okay, well, it looks like we're hearing more about the executive producers at Ellen. It was on my way home yesterday when I got the alert that Ellen had issued a statement.
You got the alert.
I get all sorts of alerts on this dumbass phone that should not be alerts. You know, it's like just stupid stuff. Let's see what I have today. Kyle Kuzma was effective in the Lakers win. Here's everything coming new to Netflix this week. Just stuff that's not really breaking news. Anyway, and I thought to myself when I saw this alert.
Self?
Ellen listens to the show because we just said the previous day, why doesn't she issue some sort of statement?
She's been oddly quiet. Yep.
Well, she said that steps will be taken to correct the issues going forward. She wrote, as we've grown exponentially, I've not been able to stay on top of everything and relied on others to do their jobs as they knew I'd want them done. Clearly, some didn't. That will now change, and I'm committed to ensuring this does not happen again. But these anecdotes about the executive producers are pretty wild.
Yeah. Executive producer Ed Glavin is one of the three executive producers, and he is the one who is at the center of most of these claims of harassment, of aggravation, hurt feelings, and he's probably among those who are going to be let go. And one source told The Hollywood Reporter, once he's out, specifically Ed Glavin, once he's out, it will be like a new day.
There's another problem. Head writer and executive producer, Kevin Lehman. He apparently has been asking people for sex in bathrooms at company parties. He also grabbed a production assistant's penis at one point.
Whoa.
Another former employee said that she saw Kevin Lehman grope a production assistant in a car, kiss his neck. That it was common for Lehman to make sexually explicit comments in the office, like pointing out male colleagues' bulges in their crotches or asking them questions like, can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a top or a bottom?
Mm-hmm.
They said it's masked in sarcasm, but it's not sarcasm.
So, I don't know. The Ellen's letter to her staff, she says, I could not have the success I've had without all of your contributions. My name is on the show and everything we do, and I take responsibility for that. Alongside Warner Brothers, we immediately began an internal investigation and we're taking steps together to correct the issues. So, can she be canceled? Can Ellen be canceled for being, for having her name on this show where it appears that, you know, even if she may be responsible for some of the diva-like behavior, don't talk to Ellen, chew gum before you talk to her because she has sensitive nose or whatever, you got bad breath or BO or whatever. But it sounds like the other people are the ones who are being the apples to others.
Brad Garrett, the actor, says that Ellen DeGeneres is personally responsible for her toxic workplace.
Yeah, he retweeted an article from Variety and added,
sorry, but it comes from the top at the Ellen show. No more than one who were treated horribly by her. Common knowledge. DeGeneres sends emotional apology to staff, which is the headline in the Variety article. Which is, listen, I don't know what Brad Garrett knows. He's been on her show multiple times.
That sounded like Eeyore a little bit. Is it Eeyore?
Yeah. It's hard
like
to.
Oh, no.
Oh, poo.
That guy?
Like, stuck again. I find joy.
You found joy
in that. I found joy in that.
Ah, in Eeyore. Hey, sports ball's back. I can't wait to watch a sports game.
Sports games.
I love sports games
just as much as the next man.
I love my sports games.
I have
games.
A cervix, too.
No.
No?
I mean, he might.
I don't know. You don't know that.
I do not know that.
I don't know that.
That's very true.
All right, coming up next, sports balls.
Gary and Shannon will continue in a moment.
I know that we've been here before.
You had no idea what they were talking about in these songs?
Like, no. Some of the highlights, I think, were that Silk song. Freak Me was another one.
Yep, that's a pretty...
There was a string of back in 1992-ish.
What about the good old, I Wanna Sex You Up?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Who knows,
what is
right?
Sex?
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. At the top of the hour, we're going to get into the story about Jose Huizar yet again. 34 federal charges in this alleged bribery scheme. 34. Not good.
Giants lost last night.
Hey, we aren't talking about the Giants. That's not what we're doing.
We're not finding joy in that.
We're not finding joy in that. I was mentioning that I did find joy, or I have found surprising joy in the automatic runner thing that goes on. Now, if you go through 9 innings and you got to play extras in baseball, they're putting a runner on second base to force the hands of, you know, pitchers and managers and batter to try to get something going to shorten shorten the length of these extra inning games. Last night was kind of a blowout for the Padres over the Giants, but I think it was a good thing. It's been one of those nice surprises that has come out of this. The bad coronavirus news for baseball today is that the Cardinals-Brewers game has been postponed. They say they're going to make it up as part of a doubleheader on Sunday, but the Major League Baseball press release says that 2 members of the St. Louis Cardinals organization tested positive for coronavirus. They didn't say specifically if they were players or not.
I was just pulling up a stat because baseball. And in 5 games, there have been 6 extra innings, and they have included a walk-off grand slam, mm-hmm. a 3-5 fielder's choice to cut down a go-ahead run, a rookie doubling home on a run on the first pitch of his big league career, Just one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Sacrifice bunt, one strikeout in the attempting of a sacrifice bunt. It goes on and on.
Oh, and the first ever.
It's all great. A 12-pitch walk.
The first ever leadoff two-run home run.
Yes.
To begin an inning. And who knows? They may not keep it. They may decide this is what we're going to do for the 2020 season because.
But it does add drama.
It does, and
excitement.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun to watch this over the next couple of days while it lasts. Basketball got back into start last night as well, and you mentioned this. Rudy Gobert was the original NBA player who tested positive back in March. Prompting the NBA to put the season on hold. And he scored the first points of the restart last night.
And dribble now to Royce O'Neal. Feed it back down to Gobert. Near steal there by Holiday. But Gobert got it back in the paint. Little spin move and an N1.
Somebody asked on Twitter, Facebook, a friend of mine, why do we need the crowd noise? He was talking specifically about baseball. But there's something very reassuring about the crowd noise.
Well, it's a sense of normalcy, like we're not in the midst of all of
right.
this.
Especially if it's just radio. You know, if you're just listening to a game, that crowd noise is a great addition because it does take away the pain of the fact that you're banking on some sort of distraction, and it's become a great distraction.
One of the overlooked stories with the sports world right now is the COVID-19 reserve list in the NFL. 15 more players were added yesterday, so the number of players on the COVID-19 reserve list is up to 66 players across 24 teams.
Are these people that have tested positive?
No, not necessarily, but players on the list have either tested positive or are in quarantine after being exposed to an infected person. Now, if a player does test positive, he can come off the list after a certain amount of time has passed since the positive tests. If a player does not test positive but is in quarantine, he can come off the list after taking two negative tests and continuing to get tested daily for 8 days. It's not altering operations at this point, but it shows
that it's going to be something they have to deal with.
That it's going to be something that they're going to have to deal with. And who are those players going to be? They could be some of the biggest stars.
Yeah. By the way, Mike Trout is out temporarily. His wife, I think, is due to give birth in the next couple of days. So he's on a paternity list. He's not getting the COVID. He'd beat it anyway, wouldn't he? I mean, he'd grunt it out. Mm-hmm. He'd grunt it out like Rodney Peete told me to do months ago.
Right.
If you get it, you just grunt it out. All right. Jose Huizar, when we come back, Gary and Shannon will continue.
Nick strikes again. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You see what he wrote on our rundown? It's July 31st, if you're keeping score.
It's August Eve, everybody.
Nick has titled it August Eve.
It is August Eve.
No, it's not.
It'll be August tomorrow. Can you believe that already? This year's halfway over almost.
Actually,
more than halfway.
Actually, that's kind of an accurate thing, a true statement this year. Last year it wasn't when the people said, can you believe it's already May?
Yeah.
But this year it kind of makes sense because we don't do anything and time just keeps going by.
Crazy, man.
we got an email from Fred Rogan's Going Rogan producer saying, hey, can you guys do the show next week? And I wrote back, yeah, I just looked at my schedule. Still nothing to do.
Still free.
Wide open.
still free. The dam fire, the one burning up the Angeles National Forest near Azusa, is about 40% contained, 217 acres.
Damn!
I saw the smoke from this coming in today because it was really low, clinging on to the floor of the valley as you come in from the north side of San Fernando Valley.
Well, I was going home yesterday, and I'm going up the 210 eastbound, and I saw it looked like it could be clouds, and then I was like, nope, that is a big ass fire.
Yeah,
and it was scary too because as I'm driving home, it's in the area of where my house is. You know, from a distance, it looks like it could be in that area. And then found out it was in the Angeles National Forest.
Oh, so your house did not burn down?
It did not burn down.
Last night's demonstrations in Portland were mostly calm. Oregon State Police took on the assignment to provide the security at the federal courthouse. They sent several officers to take the place of those federal officers. And as of last night, there were no arrests made. Everything stayed relatively calm. We're also going to talk a little bit later this hour about an accident that happened somewhere off the coast of San Clemente Island. There were several Marines and a sailor on board an amphibious ship. And it was taking on water, they said last night. And at least one person has died. One of the Marines was dead. 8 others are missing.
Well, Jose Huizar, who was arrested and charged with racketeering last month in a pay-to-play investigation, faces additional charges now, including bribery and money laundering, according to federal prosecutors and their announcement yesterday.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
34-count grand jury indictment, and they claim that Huizar was the head of this criminal enterprise that leveraged his power at City Hall for financial gain, that he would help real estate developers get business with the city in exchange for cash, free flights, casino chips, and other perks. It was actually somebody in a cage in Vegas who reported him because he had so many chips.
I love it. He is the 5th person in this thing, and I got to imagine it's going to go even larger than this. But former Jose Huizar aide George Esparza, a real estate consultant named George Chung, political fundraiser Justin Kim, and former council member Mitch Englander. I hope they all get a sell together.
I find joy in this story, don't you?
I do find joy.
You know why?
In this.
Because these are people who operate above the law. They think they're above the law. They think they're powerful enough to do this and cheat people and skim off the top, and you're not.
Well,
you're going to get in trouble.
I also find joy in that there are people outside of this circle of five, right, that are shaking in their boots right now. They are terrified. You want to talk about sweating in areas that you didn't know you had sweat glands. These guys are cooking. Absolutely.
The indictment says that Huizar tried to cover up the illicit money in several ways, including guiding his aide on how to avoid bank reporting requirements, using family members to launder hundreds of thousands of dollars. He made false statements to federal prosecutors and the FBI.
Allegedly, right? I mean, we have to be careful.
We don't.
We don't.
If we're on that side of the glass, we have to say allegedly. On this side of the glass, we can say whatever we want.
The indictment also talks about the specific, gets into some specifics, I should say, about these alleged crimes. For instance, the complaint says that a businessman who wanted Jose Huizar to introduce him to developers paid for gifts like expensive suits and meals and hotel stays for the city councilman to meet with a woman with whom he was having an affair.
Mm.
It also talks about this itemized list of those gifts with dates and dollar amounts. Suit and shirts worth $6,000. That's out of my league.
That's not your price point?
That's not my price point for suit and shirts. What were you going to ask me? You were going to look at my clothing and ask what I...
I was going to ask how much you think your outfit is.
This outfit?
Yeah.
This old thing?
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. Shoes included or not?
Yeah, let's throw in the... No, because the shoes aren't part of this itemized list.
The socks were a gift.
Okay.
The pants, probably $40, and the shirt, maybe $25.
What about that hat?
The hat was about $30.
Ooh, so you're like about $100, huh? I got this tank top from Target for $7 in 2010.
Okay, bragger.
I know, right?
I could still fit into clothes that I bought in 2010.
Wait.
I know what you're saying. They talk about the hotel accommodations worth $1,500. I don't know if that's one night, although it does have a date attached to it. That's
the
a good night.
The charges that weeze our faces, I mean, these carry a lot of years. Like money laundering alone, you can get up to 20 years in federal prison. Lying to the FBI, they really don't like that. Maximum sentence of 30 years.
Federal prosecutors, by the way, did not name the former deputy mayor who was supposed to be involved in all of this. But if you do the math, it looks like it's going to be Raymond Chan. Raymond Chan has not been arrested, has not been publicly charged in this case. They may nickname him the Tweety Bird.
There are certain stories in Los Angeles that pop up every handful of years, right? This is one of them. And it's popped up again, and it's about L.A. County Sheriff's deputies and their tattoos. What do they all mean? I don't know why we have to keep going back to this well, but it's comical. I find it to be comical.
Sorry, baby, you can't blame me. I just can't be you. I'm so fed up. Time to get up, baby. We are three. I thought that what we had would never end. But now it's too late for my heart to mend. And all the one we had was good.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. On the iHeartRadio app. See, it doesn't look like she's wearing a pink lemonade shirt.
Yes, that does. Like it is reminiscent of pink lemonade.
Natter Days. The new strawberry lemonade version of Natural Light.
I'm taking joy from it.
I think we should all take joy.
It's like watermelon sugar.
Watermelon sugar? Ha! Watermelon sugar? Ha!
Not gonna happen!
So there was a L.A. County Sheriff's deputy who filed a claim against L.A. County saying that there is a gang of deputies operating within the Compton Sheriff Station. Now, this was filed a handful of years ago, 2016, 2017. And apparently on Wednesday, Sheriff Villanueva was asked about it. And he said during this live Facebook broadcast that there is no gang of any deputies running any station, but that he was disturbed by the allegations and the claim, and that swift administrative action is being taken, saying that he takes this stuff seriously. Inspector General Max Huntsman then said he's aware of no implementation whatsoever of the policy. And the LA Times decided to write a 5-page article rehashing the whole damn thing about the tattoos. Yes, police officers have tattoos. Do they sometimes have the same tattoo? Yes, they do.
What?
Is it sometimes a show of camaraderie? Yes, it is. I have the same tattoo best friend from high school.
Is it?
Does that mean we're in a gang now?
Because skeleton holding an AK-47?
It's not.
Oh.
It's a shamrock.
Well, do you go out and target members of the public and execute them?
I do not.
Well, that's the allegation, that if you have a tattoo of a skeleton holding an AK-47, you must be an executioner.
The allegations they write have revived long-standing concerns that inked deputy groups with monikers such as the Spartans, Regulators, Grim Reapers, and Banditos operate out of several sheriff's department stations. that such existence of fraternities has sparked multiple internal investigations, including a probe by the FBI. But you know what happens? You know what the FBI found? Nothing.
Yeah, they find that
matching tattoos. And there's some deputies that are crying because these are the guys that have power over them. Or maybe they're not part of the group. They're not part of the clique. So they take offense to that. And so they file lawsuits. They say that the gang essentially controls everything in the Compton station. The scheduling, the distribution of informant tips, assignments to deputies in the station. Aren't these all things that have to happen at a sheriff station? Scheduling, the distribution of informant tips, somebody to hand out assignments. These are all things that have to happen. They're not retaliation. They're not bullying. It's just everyday cop work.
So the guy also claims that these people were retaliating against him. He anonymously reported a fellow deputy to internal affairs for beating up another deputy behind the parking lot at the Compton station. He was accused of being a rat. He was retaliated against, he says in this claim, that he was forced to step down from his field training officer position. Deputies refused to partner with him, while an inked deputy and dispatch would saddle him with a bunch of calls, throwing them to him and not to other deputies.
This is just such whiner stuff, isn't it?
It sounds like it.
The LA Times says one of the deputies, Samuel Aldama, admitted under oath to having ink on his calf depicting a skull with a rifle and a military-style helmet surrounded by flames.
No!
Along with the letters CPT for Compton. Thanks for that. Romero alleges that the same image was found on a mouse pad and a pencil holder. Not the mouse pad.
Yes, and the pencil holder.
Was it on the miniature football?
Now, that's not to say that some of these guys who happen to have these tattoos are involved in, excessive use of force investigations. As they
That's
what they do. That's what they should do. I mean that they should be investigated if they get involved in any of these cases like that. But the allegation that a tattoo on your calf
and the mouse pad and the pencil holder.
Sorry, I forgot the pencil holder. That those images, for some reason, prove that there is a group of people out there who, but again, the allegation is that they become inked as executioners after executing members of the public or otherwise committing acts of violence in furtherance of their...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Poor gang.
You guys, we should all get matching tattoos for the show. Are you feeling crazy?
What would we get?
Are we doing this?
It better be
like
good.
Like the show logo on the shirts?
No.
The microphone with the wings?
No, because that's... reminds me too much of a tattoo somebody else had around here.
What?
What?
There was somebody else who worked
here. Who had a microphone with wings tattoo?
I don't think it had wings, but it was definitely a microphone.
A microphone tattoo.
Oh. Can we get their faces tattooed on our backs?
Oh, and write down the other name of the other person whose life we ruined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It could be like that picture of like Joe Kelly holding the babies.
We should get tribal bands. We could bring that back.
No, that's appropriation.
Oh, you're right.
The only thing
How
that
dare you? It is 2020.
You're right.
The only culture I think that would be appropriate for us would be a jar of Best Foods mayonnaise.
Okay,
tattooed on our bicep or something like that.
I like that idea.
Can I get it on my calf?
Yes.
Calf tattoo?
Yes. Okay. As long as your jar of mayonnaise is holding an AK-47. I think we got it.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Hey, Frat Row. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Frat Row is now the hottest place in L.A. County when it comes to COVID-19.
We'll get into it. Gary and Shannon will continue. Jade. 1992 is our flashback Friday year, all 1992 R&B, because it was just so fun. Jim wrote to me, Shannon, just heard you talking about the tattoo of a microphone with wings. Well, the Gary and Shannon t-shirt I'm wearing right now has a microphone with wings. Yay, love the show. Thanks for wearing the shirt, Jim.
I would do that.
You'd what?
I'd get that tattoo.
You would?
Maybe.
Would you? Would it say Gary?
Just Gary.
Would it just be the microphone with
just
the wings?
That, just that part of it.
You would get that. Where would you put it?
I'm not going to tell you. Isaias ramped up to an 80-mile-an-hour Category 1 hurricane last night. Yes. Isaias, not Isaias or anything like that. But it's on its way towards Florida. The president's actually on his way to Florida. Also, he is going to be talking about COVID-19 and storm prep today. I wanted to bring up Isaias very quickly to mention, you said, what happened to other names like Sam?
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
They rotate through name. They have like six. Yeah, they have six lists of names. And every once in a while, they retire certain names, like Hurricane Katrina. Obviously, they retired. There will never be another Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
Hurricane Sam, or Tropical Cyclone Sam, is on next year's list. It's on 2021.
Well, they must listen to the show.
There has been a Hurricane Shannon.
What did it do?
1975, there was a Hurricane Shannon that rolled through. It actually didn't form until October of that year. It came right after Hurricane Prudence and right before Tropical Storm Rosalia. Hurricane Shannon brushed the Upper East Coast, but that's about it.
Huh. Yeah. That's it, huh?
Yep. I don't think
weak stream.
I don't know if there's ever been a
Hurricane Gary.
Yeah. I don't think that's doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
No, you're not a hurricane.
2018.
Oh, yeah, 2018.
Hurricane season. Yeah, Hurricane Gary.
Look at that.
What do you know? Never heard of it.
Gary began rapid intensification on the 11th of December and became a Category 3 major hurricane. Gary unexpectedly slowed down on the 12th of December.
Duh.
Looks like you were...
I got very tired.
You caused massive flooding in Scotland.
I could see that. I could see that. Destroyed Edinburgh, Glasgow... Also had flooding, although it wasn't as bad.
And then your remnants reorganized into Hurricane Hilda.
Also
so you went through a sex change.
Perfect sense. I didn't go through an actual change. It just went through an identity crisis.
Well, it looks like frat brothers don't care about other people.
What?
Breaking news, everybody. From the obvious file comes this story.
Sarah Van Orman is the chief student health officer at the University of Southern California.
It looks like frat rows are the scene of COVID outbreaks, not just at USC, but across the country. University of Washington, UC Berkeley, UCLA. Because the frat boys are banging around. Nothing's going to stop them from having parties, giving girls jungle juice, and banging around. And viral loads are, I doubt that they're wearing masks to prevent the spread of the viral loads.
And I guarantee that an elephant walk is going to spread COVID-19. I guarantee it.
Does that really go on?
Sarah Van Orman. Ask Petros. Sarah Van Orman says, unless all of us understand that right now our only tools are physical distancing and wearing masks, we're going to continue to have devastation. Devastation, she says. Not only in terms of the economy, our learning, our academics, our jobs, but people are dying. Yes, people are dying, but they're not frat boys. Frat boys are not dying.
They're just spreading it around. And you know what they're ruining it for? They're ruining it for people like your daughter. Because the more that they have these outbreaks, because they keep throwing parties, the more the colleges are going to move towards online learning or more online learning versus in-person learning.
Oh, you know what I got from Cal Poly? I got a refund on some of the money that I'm going to spend for her to sit in the dorm and take an online class.
You did?
No, I didn't. So why? Well, it's... You're going to make me mad. The... issues...
I cannot believe that it's legal for them to charge you full price. There's got to be somebody to take up that that fight.
Oh, my wife would be the one. I mean, she would tear somebody a brand new orifice. We just don't know who it's not the president of the university. I mean, it's going to be the chancellor of the Cal State system or chancellors. Yeah. I mean, the board of trustees, whatever. It doesn't make any sense. Now, the UCLA coronavirus total is similar to what we saw at USC. UCLA said they have 153 people who have tested positive and reported their diagnosis to the university since testing began. So listen, UCLA community-wide, how big a school is UCLA? And I'm not just talking about the students. When you talk the students, the staff, the faculty, everybody who works at UCLA, that's 250,000 people. I don't know if it's that much, maybe 150,000, whatever. For them to have 153 individuals test positive is a fantastic number. That's great. I mean, in that it's so low. 52 cases have been reported since June 15th. And that, of course, includes people who are out of state telling UCLA, I came down positive. When you're talking about a global pandemic where there's no vaccine, I would never say that any of us feel good about a number of cases. But what I do feel good about is that our leadership has taken this so seriously, that being the head of student health there at UCLA.
All right. Coming up next, it looks like there was a mishap, according to officials, with an assault amphibious vehicle off the coast of San Clemente Island.
Not good.
That's some missing Marines.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
I gave you all that I have inside, and you took my love. You took my love. I keep crying. I keep trying for
you. This is why you handle the business side of things, and I do not. Because my email would have been a little bit more harshly worded.
Your emails tend to start off with either the first or second word is the F word.
Yeah. Do you see my email yesterday regarding the RVs?
Yeah, that was the first word. see? Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Still, man, a little more than half the show left to go. Catherine Folder is going to join us from Washington, D.C., talking about what's going on with the coronavirus task force testifying in front of Congress today. More baseball news to tell you about coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, specifically that the Cardinals-Brewers game that was supposed to take place this afternoon has been postponed.
I was just watching highlights from the Phillies' last game, and the guys at bat, they're hitting it out. and they're wearing the mask. I can barely walk down those stairs with my mask on because I don't know what it does to my vision, but it's something. It's some sort of weird effect.
How does that work?
Because, like, I'm looking down. I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because usually
you can
look down and right. see where your feet, you know, peripherally. But when the mask is there, I have to do this. It's a whole situation. But they're hitting home runs. It's not affecting their ability to hit a fastball.
The Cardinals did say that two people who are connected to the team, or I should say two people in the Cardinals organization, have tested positive, but they have not yet said if it was players that we've seen. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk with Ryan Burrow coming up about baseball at 1 o'clock hour and our 9 news nuggets you need to know, of course, coming up at 1:30. A very sad and disappointing story, I suppose you could call it, an amphibious assault amphibious vehicle, I think is the official term, an AAV, started taking on water yesterday during a 1st Marine Expeditionary Force training just off of San Clemente Island.
This is about 5:45 p.m. One Marine has died, 8 service members remain missing, and 2 were injured. All assigned to the Marine Expeditionary Force.
The
Navy and the Coast Guard have brought in for search and rescue.
Christopher Bronzy is the 15th MEU commanding officer, and his quote that they put up on Twitter very early in the morning says, "We're deeply saddened by this tragic incident. I ask that you keep our Marines, sailors, and their families in your prayers. We continue to search." There's not a lot of detail about what was specifically going on, but the belief is that they had taken off from San Clemente Island and were headed towards a ship of some kind that was out there. 15 Marines, 1 sailor on board at the time or inside the AAV. 8 have been recovered, and of course the other 1 was killed and 8 still missing.
How does that happen? What is this kind of vehicle? Is it?
Imagine a tank, because it's a tracked vehicle, but it's amphibious, so it'll drive along the beach and then go out into the water and float in the water like a boat.
Although it floats, it doesn't go under.
No. Well, and this one may have, unfortunately. The difference being, I've never seen amphibious vehicles like this that are highly maneuverable in water. Like, they're not great.
Yeah.
That's always been the problem. The duck boat is probably a version that people can think of, being an amphibious style vehicle that will roll around on city streets and then drop into a lake or wherever it is. Those types of things are never great.
Well, a couple years ago on that duck boat, 13 people died.
Was that Missouri?
Missouri. 17 dead.
The Navy and the Coast Guard are going to be out there helping search and rescue efforts. The Marine that was killed was pronounced dead at Scripps Memorial in La Jolla, and they're still under investigation. So 1st Marine Expeditionary Force is a air ground task force. Their mission is generating, deploying, and employing ready forces and formation for crisis response, forward presence, major combat operations, and campaigns.
The same style vehicle was involved, they say, in a fire in 2017 at Camp Pendleton, sent 14 Marines and a sailor to the hospital with serious burn injuries when it struck a gas line.
I think the terrifying version of this is that if there's 15 guys inside that thing and it starts taking on water, that they... If that thing sank, that they're in there. That's...
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to mention that I was telling you this earlier, and I'm trying to figure out exactly the right... It came up in this conversation when I mentioned the American Cancer Society. The American Cancer Society came out with new Pap screening advice for people, not for women, but for people, specifically people with the cervix, which in normal nomenclature would be, you know, women.
Mm-hmm.
Cervical cancer screening now recommended to start at 25 instead of 21. HPV testing should begin at 25 rather than 30. But the American Cancer Society is getting dragged over the coals now because they use the term individuals with a cervix rather than saying women. It absolutely floored me when my daughter got her first email. It floored me that it's taken this long, but she got her first email from somebody that had pronouns in it, their chosen pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, should we add pronouns to our email signature?
I'm not going to do that. You can do that. I don't find it to be necessary. I think it's a personal decision. If you want to do it, but don't tell me to do it.
Okay. So not even for the show, we should just, they, them, theirs, we shouldn't put that on there? We could.
I feel like that would come across like we were making fun of it.
No.
Yes.
We would not make fun of
it. No, we would not.
Our intent is not to hurt feelings. It's just
somebody wants us to get our tattoo, our matching tattoo of hot rails.
What does a hot rail look like?
Oh, don't open that can.
I'm sorry,
worms.
I didn't know. I don't know what a hot
Everyone
rail looks like.
Everyone is now going to send us pictures of hot rails they did this morning.
Oh.
Don't you remember?
Keep the GIMP mask out of the photo, please. All of our trending stories when we come back to Gary and Shannon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listen to this story.
No!
It's science. It's on CNN. Can I not tell the story?
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's just proof that dudes are gross.
It's not.
And obsessed with
themselves. Okay, maybe it is. Oh, fine. But it's proof that gross dudes sometimes drive science.
Yes, in this case.
Okay, well.
More than 340 years ago, a Dutchman named Anton van Leeuwenhoek invented a powerful new microscope and accidentally discovered the existence of bacteria.
Oh.
Of course, a groundbreaking achievement that changed the course of medicine.
Doesn't sound gross yet.
Not long after, he decided to look at his output.
Emission.
Private time emission.
Okay, we're done.
Not
That's fine.
Gonna happen. No, not gonna happen.
You are not finishing
not
that story.
Gonna happen.
Okay.
What Was else? It the one that you told me about in the break?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to.
Okay, guys. I mean, I thought that men were the ones who were good at science. Apparently not. Apparently it's all right
what
here.
What does that have to do with us wanting to keep our jobs?
This is a family show.
Okay, well... This is ridiculous. It is literally science. What else is going on?
Time for What's Happening.
What's happening?
Dr. Fauci was on Capitol Hill testifying before a coronavirus panel about the need for a national comprehensive plan to address the COVID. He discussed why we here in this country have continued to see a surge in cases while European countries have seen a sharp decrease. He says that
hopefully as we're going forward, we can turn those around. And I do believe we can, Mr. Chairman, by doing some of the fundamental things that we're talking about. Five easy things to do that were mentioned by Dr. Redfield.
Well, one specific thing that he was talking about was the European countries shut down their economies by 95%, while the United States only shut its economy down by 50%.
He said some states followed the CDC guidelines, others did not, which is why there's a surge in many southern and western states. He also expressed optimism about the development of a vaccine in the near future. He says it's a reality. I think it will occur.
I thought about this, or I read about this, when we were talking last week about the phase three trial from one of the drug makers that's in the process, you know, the farthest along in getting their vaccine ready. They are already producing millions of vials of that vaccine right now so that once they get approved, they can have it ready to go and ready to ship. Not all of it, but I mean, millions and millions of doses instead of waiting for the testing to be done. And that whole process is taking Operation Warp Speed. That's what it is.
We've got a hurricane heading toward the Bahamas and Florida this afternoon and may eventually have much of the East Coast in its sights eventually.
Isaias is a Category 1 hurricane as of last night. Maximum sustained winds well over 80 miles an hour now. It hit the southernmost Bahamas with rain and wind this morning. Had already crossed over the island of Hispaniola, Dominican, and Haiti, and is going to cause problems. The president is on his way to Florida today. He's going to be on the other side. He's going to be in Tampa, I believe. But they will be talking about getting ready for Hurricane Isaias and how it's going to affect COVID, because they're shutting down a bunch of testing sites throughout the state of Florida.
There are newly released court documents that detail what was going on with Jeffrey Epstein and his friend, Ghislaine Maxwell. This is all about these orgies that they had on their private Caribbean island. This time, they take aim at Ghislaine Maxwell, that she had continuous sex with girls and women, some as young as 15. This is according to Virginia Guffrey, who has accused Epstein and Maxwell of abusing her.
She said that she traveled to Europe with them on several occasions and was trafficked to these rich and powerful men. Prince Andrew, of course, was named. Alan Dershowitz was another one. She also, Virginia, said that they constantly reminded her of the powerful people they knew and would warn her not to aggravate them. She says, Jeffrey did a lot more than she did, but she definitely made it aware that we shouldn't cross boundaries with them.
Ellen is in the news because she finally issued a statement with regard to all the allegations of a hostile, toxic work environment at her show. She wrote that she intends to correct the issues raised about this behind-the-scenes behavior. She says, as we've grown exponentially, I've not been able to stay on top of everything and relied on others to do their jobs as they knew I'd want them done. Clearly, some did not. She says, that will now change, and I'm committed to ensuring this does not happen again. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the show's EP, Ed Galvin, will be let go.
We got a direct message from somebody on Instagram that says, my mom has friends who worked at Ellen, and those claims are true. She's awful.
Yeah, that's all the feedback I've gotten, too, is that this is all true, that she's a super monster. And there was new allegations about another executive producer who was grabbing colleagues' parts. See how I cleaned it up for you?
Thank you.
For you guys?
Well, there was somebody who used to work here who used to work on Ellen. Boy, I'm going to have to go through my old Rolodex and try to figure this out.
Antonio Brown's been suspended for 8 games for violating the personal
throwing at the Astros
policy.
Sorry. What did he do?
What didn't he do? Antonio Brown, are you kidding? Here's the thing. He's not on a team, so there's that, too. But that's half the season if somebody decided to roll the dice on that guy.
So they're paying for half the season at some point. If, like you said, if somebody takes a header on that guy.
I also feel bad about Antonio Brown. I think he's like a Brittany Kanye situation.
Yeah.
You know, he's got like manic phases and things like that, and people just look the other way because they're famous and rich.
We have Swamp Watch coming up at the bottom of the hour. We've got 9 news nuggets you need to know coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Still got all kinds of show left. How are we going to shoehorn this thing in there?
Shannon, a hot roll. I mean, a hot rail. Hot roll is something.
Time out. Wait, before you go on.
Yeah.
Is this an email to us?
It's a tweet.
Okay.
Gary and Shannon, a hot rail is just a line I'm sure you've seen a line before, whether in a movie or at a party, LOL. It becomes a hot rail from the Tool.
Wait, what?
From the Tool. From the heat source.
Oh, got it. Okay.
He hashtagged hot rail.
Oh, good. Is there a lot of hashtags of hot rail going on the Insta Twitters?
Not in the way that we talk about them.
What are they? Is it a naked thing?
No.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Not yet. I haven't gotten to the naked hot rails yet.
At the bottom of the hour, Catherine Folder's going to join us. Discussions over the stimulus package have gone nowhere. We'll talk about that. See what Congress heard from the members of the coronavirus task force.
Oh, it got to a naked thing. It got to a naked thing.
Well, you're saying it very excitedly.
All you have to do is keep scrolling, everything turns into a naked thing.
Yes.
Isn't that... Look at that.
I can't see what you're looking at. Nick.
Just naked and there's a blowtorch.
A what? A blowtorch? Stop. We'll also talk about the deep dive that I went down yesterday about what would happen if there was no election. As weird as that sounds, but remember the president floated the idea of delaying the presidential election until we can make sure that everybody's safe and doesn't have to vote by mail.
Christine wrote to us and she says, "Hey guys, I just saw this pop up in my news feed, and since I'm listening to your show all morning, my first thought was, I wonder if Gary and Shannon have seen this," and then she put a link to this article.
This one? Which
no.
one?
This one. A man who lost his penis now has a new one growing on his arm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that
Christine,
one.
Christine, that is one of our 9 news nuggets you need to know.
Not to to give away the secrets, but that guy's Willie's been on his arm for a long time.
She thought of us first when she saw that headline.
That is very nice. Thank you, Christine.
I feel like Christine really knows us.
She does. So Nick pointed this out. I was talking a few minutes ago about whether or not the California state system is going to reduce tuition since no one's going to be on campus or very few students will be on campus. The University of Michigan State University is going to, of course, do both in-person and online classes for the fall semester, they say. And Gabriel Perez's parents, paying about $55,000 a year in tuition and fees, were wondering, are you going to give us a break if we just switch to online instruction? So Gabriel is one of thousands of students who had to go back home when school was cut short back in March. And she signed a petition hoping that the university would send some money back, perhaps. Because if nothing else, she feels remote learning is less valuable than a college classroom and should be less expensive.
Of course it is. "We waited so long for them to reach out," she told ABC News. "And when they finally did, it was like a slap in the face. Michigan State University announced it would charge students the same price for tuition and fees."
According to a survey of 13,000 colleges, more than 93% of U.S. students believe that if classes are held online, tuition should be lowered.
Here we go. This is what I've been waiting for. Roy Willie is an attorney, started a website called College Refund 2020 back in April. He told ABC News he's filed more than 30 lawsuits against colleges and universities, and that will grow as a semester approaches.
I love his example.
Yes.
He says, it's like if you go to a steakhouse and order prime rib and pay in advance. And then they get to our table and they say, we only have hamburgers.
He says, hamburgers are still food and we may accept that because we're hungry, but they don't get to keep all the money we paid for the prime rib. What a great analogy.
He says, in the last few weeks, there are a handful of colleges who have announced tuition freezes for upcoming school years. William & Mary, University of Chicago, Penn State. But others have actually increased tuition in some areas. Duke University. Daniel Kim is a senior there. Daniel also signed a petition for the university to lower tuition for the upcoming year and was surprised when Duke moved forward with their decision to increase tuition by 3% this year. And because most of the classes will be remote, University is going to be saving money on some expenses like campus police and campus events.
Absolutely.
Franklin and Marshall is another college that's moving forward with an increase in tuition by 3.5%, despite the fact that most of their courses will be online this fall semester. Tuition and fees for the upcoming academic year at Franklin and Marshall, $61,000.
Here's a good story. There was a student petition in Georgetown, collected more than 2,000 signatures. So Georgetown announced that students who are not invited back to campus will receive a 10% reduction in tuition, which amounts to about $2,800. Lafayette College in Pennsylvania reversed a planned 3.75% increase in tuition, now offering that 10% discount to students who study from home.
I want to have a conversation with my daughter 20 years from now. Like, I want to meet her 37-year-old person and ask her about college and senior year having been nuked by this coronavirus thing. She didn't get to finish. She didn't get to graduate. I mean, obviously she graduated. She didn't get to do the ceremony in front of the football stadium. She didn't get to go to prom. She didn't get to, you know, whatever the start of her college career. It's almost like my wife and I feel bad for her because she doesn't know what college
missing?
Is supposed to feel like when you first get there.
Right.
And it's almost like there's going to be two different versions of it. She's obviously going to go in 6 weeks. Oh, my God. Sorry. She's going to go in 6 weeks or whatever it is. But it probably won't be until next fall when she gets a real feeling of what college
it'll
is supposed
still happen.
To be like.
It'll happen. It was supposed to happen this fall for her, but it'll happen. It'll happen next year. Everything's on pause.
It's just weird because she's going to summer camp. I mean, that's she's going to summer camp. She's going to go live in a dorm with a roommate, and they're rarely going to be able to get out of their dorm and go to class or a lab or something like that.
I'm still wondering if they will have students in dorms.
Yes.
Or if you're going to get that letter.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. BGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, I doubt that. I doubt that they'll do that. Kick people out of dorms. They'll just be careful, I guess.
I don't know.
Dorms are cesspools. They're just cesspools anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You can't walk out of there with at least one
infection. How do you keep that safe in a dorm? Everyone's got everything.
Well, not everything.
No, you know what I mean. All right, coming up next, we will dive into Swamp Watch. Discussions over another stimulus package still remain a point of contention.
Oh, good thing those guys get to go home for the weekend, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. A-holes.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
They say it can be better a second time around. Since you came in my life, hear me, things nice.
Gonna make some babies today. I bet this show made a baby. Don't you think? Today, 1992 R&B.
If anybody's looking for a name, I would suggest Jacob.
Yeah,
Jacob is the one man on the ones and the twos today.
You're gonna make a baby with all this.
Not Wing Wing.
No, not Wang Wang.
That's too bad.
That's a panda at the Adelaide Zoo.
Couple fires that we're keeping our eyes on. Not those kind of fires, these kind of fires. 217-acre brush fire in the Angeles National Forest. About 40% contained. That's called the Dam Fire. There's another one up in the Canoga Park area that's burning through some of the very rocky terrain in that area. This is going to be a rough weekend, especially if the temperatures do reach the 106, 107 degree mark in some of those places today.
God, that terrain is treacherous, isn't it?
Yeah, they're doing that from helicopter because you cannot You just simply cannot walk around.
Hand crews in there, yeah. All right, time for Swamp Watch.
Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp.
Swamp Watch.
Well, it looks like discussions over another coronavirus stimulus package are at a standstill. Catherine Falders joins us now from Washington with all of the details. Catherine, what are the latest sticking points?
Yeah, standstill is the right word here. Another round of talks failed last night. They didn't make any progress. You had the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, emerging from that meeting last night with Speaker Pelosi, saying he's not optimistic that anyone relying on unemployment benefits will see any relief anytime soon. These talks are essentially deadlocked. Yesterday, Republicans and Mitch McConnell, they made this last-minute attempt to extend the weekly $600 payments, but just to $200. And Democrats call that a political stunt. Really, the bottom line here, though, is that these payments, they've been helping 30 million Americans really make ends meet. Those are going to expire, and neither side is anywhere closer to getting a deal. They're finger-pointing at each other. Now, the White House Chief of Staff is most likely going to be up on Capitol Hill tomorrow to continue negotiations, so we'll see where it goes from there. But the other big thing here that I want to point out, I don't want it to get lost, the bill has funding for schools, a significant amount of funding for schools to reopen. And most schools, some schools, are opening in the next 2 weeks. So if this moves any slower, that could also be in jeopardy.
Where do we stand in terms of them leaving for the weekend for members of Congress? Are they going to get out of town and just punt this thing, or what's happening with that?
Yeah, well, they're actually gone. Oh, so members
great.
Of the House are leaving today. I know it's a good question, too, though, because then they might come back. But so members of the Senate, you know, Chuck Schumer was there late doing his meetings, but they left on Thursday after this failed attempt to try and get this over the finish line. So talks today were actually happening by phone. Now, we don't really have a readout of those yet, but we do know that they will come back, not the whole Senate, but the negotiators will most likely come back to continue these meetings in person tomorrow. But just right before I got on the phone with you guys, the president is now weighing in, attacking Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader Schumer, saying they blocked desperately needed unemployment payments, which is so terrible. That's what he said. The chief of staff says that they made four offers and the Democrats made no counteroffers to try to negotiate with them. But we should remember that the Democrats put forward their bill weeks ago. So the White House, you could argue, could have come to the negotiating table sooner.
Anything significant come out of the testimony this morning from the members of the coronavirus task force?
Yeah, so a couple headlines from that. Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, appeared with other members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. They essentially said that this pandemic is going to continue for some time, that we're really not out of the woods here. But they were optimistic that the U.S. Vaccine effort was on track. So that's good news. The president has previously said that he believes the virus will suddenly disappear. He's kind of abandoned that rhetoric. However, Fauci said today that he doesn't believe it will disappear because it's such, I'm quoting him, quote, such a highly transmissible virus. It's unlikely it is going to disappear. He encouraged, of course, social distancing and mask wearing. The CDC director, Robert Redfield, also said that he's optimistic that schools will open, but says that he wants that to happen safely.
They talked about the fact that some of the testing is taking a long time when it comes to getting those results back to people and how that is affecting the contact tracing. Is there any effort to produce more rapid results?
Yeah, it's a good question. There is, and the Admiral Girard was talking about testing. He says that testing has rapidly improved, but you're right. People are still waiting, you know, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, 12 days for their testing results to come back. So they're working on improving that, too. But Dr. Fauci has even acknowledged, to your point, with contact tracing, that does make it difficult. That, in addition to that, some folks don't want to pick up the phone and talk to the contact tracers. So there is an effort to try and get that underway. Testing has improved, but still, officials acknowledge it does have a long way to go.
Catherine, thank you. We appreciate all the information.
Thanks, guys.
Catherine Folders there live from Washington, D.C. When we come back, the president says, ha-ha, you fell for my trap. You talked about the security of mail-in balloting, and all I had to do was suggest that we delay the election. Ha 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 ha. Well, I went down that hole. I mean, well, that hole. I went down the hole of, what would happen if there was no election?
Aha.
Aha!
Gary and Shannon will
continue. But wait! There's more. That's, I'm going to say that a couple of times.
Okay.
Okay. Surely the fire can't be that large. It's the Shirley fire. Get it?
Oh,
the Shirley fire burning out
there.
Box Canyon out to west of Canoga Park. They say it's about 5 acres running uphill, medium to heavy fuels. They have a couple of air tankers that are coming in there to take care of it. It's really, really rocky terrain. And I guess that's potentially good in that it is... there's not a lot of fuel, the medium fuel in some of those areas, so it's not going to spread incredibly fast, but it is really, really hot out there.
Is this story true?
Which one?
That Dr. Fauci's baseball card outsold Vladimir Guerrero's?
Yep.
Wow. So the picture of Fauci tossing the first pitch at that season opener in Washington between the Yankees and the Nationals was turned into a Topps Now card and sold a record 51,512 copies. Topps Now cards are printed on demand for 24 hours only based on specific events. Fauci card originally was sold for $9.99, but versions are now being priced on eBay for more than $25.
Wow. Okay.
The previous record was just 19,306.
The president yesterday... lit a fire under everybody. I saw somebody say that he let the cat out amongst the pigeons when he suggested that we delay the election until it's safe because he hates the idea of everybody being given mail-in ballots. Yesterday, he also tweeted this. Glad I was able to get the very dishonest, lamestream media to finally start talking about the risks to our democracy from dangerous universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which I totally support. He gotcha. He made you talk about it. Now, listen, here's my favorite part about this. What if there were no election? Now, I know. There's some federal laws that set election day for presidential electors, senators, and representatives as the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November, right? If you're going to do this, if you're going to change that, you'd have to go through the House. You mentioned yesterday. There's no way that's going through the House, currently controlled by Democrats. The 20th Amendment also says the terms of the president and vice president shall end at noon the 20th day of January. Therefore, even if the election were canceled for some reason, the president and vice president are out of a job at noon on January 20th. So who succeeds them? Wait. Who's third in the line of succession?
Nancy Pelosi.
But wait a minute. Remember, we said there's no election. There would be nobody in the House of Representatives because nobody would have been elected back on November 3rd, right?
Is that what the rules say?
Well,
when it comes to Congress?
If there's no election, there's no Congress.
Is that what the rules say?
Shush.
Well, I thought you did a deep dive.
I didn't ask that question. But wait, there's more. If Nancy Pelosi or anybody who would be a Speaker of the House doesn't exist since no one had been elected to Congress, who's next in the line of succession? President Pro Tem of the Senate. Who is that? Chuck Grassley from Iowa. President Grassley. But wait. Remember... the terms of many senators, in fact, a third of them would expire at the beginning of January, and they weren't elected. There was nobody elected. So you've only got 66, 67 senators, right? And as it turns out, 23 seats held by Republicans and 12 seats held by Democrats are up for election this year. So if no election is held, Democrats would actually then have the majority in the Senate once those seats become vacant. Now, what does that mean? President pro temp of the Senate is traditionally held by the most senior member of the majority party. In that case, it would be Senator Patrick Leahy, the Democrat from Vermont. Ladies and gentlemen, I offer to you the 46th president of the United States, Mr. Patrick Leahy. But wait, because the 17th Amendment allows state governors to name temporary senators to vacant seats, but not all states are going to allow their governors to do so.
A Democratic majority could choose any sitting senator for that role.
They sure could.
Including Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders.
Could you imagine?
Holy hell.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
I love playing with scenarios like this. Because here's the thing. The framers of the Constitution did not lay out a no election scenario.
No, because they assumed that it would always be held.
Because they assumed we would never be as dumb ass as we are today.
Well, they also assumed we would never have a postal service on the brink of absolute collapse, which you could argue this one currently is. And if we're going to rely on mail-in voting, universal mail-in balloting, we have to make sure that our postal service works, period. The idea of the president floated some idea that you're not going to know for days, weeks, or even years, I think was his term, who the winner of the election is. That doesn't happen. Yes, it will take time. And yes, it will potentially take more time if everybody is using mail-in ballots. We've seen that in those states that currently do that. But that doesn't mean it's going to take that long for this thing to be figured out. Plus,
watermelon sugar high.
I told you I'd say it. I told you. All right. When we come back, the latest in some baseball stuff coming up. I have a quick update to tell you. We're going to talk about how the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be quarantined to their hotel rooms. At least a couple of people have confirmed positive for COVID-19. The doubleheaders that we see in these games over this weekend, we're supposed to see one on Sunday, I believe it is. They're only going to be 7-inning games. Major League Baseball and the Players Association agreed to shorten those doubleheader games to just 7 innings apiece, which is the way they've been doing it in the minor leagues for a very long time.
Can I tell you what this bag of popcorn says?
Only if it says watermelon sugar.
Watermelon sugar high.
It says non-GMO, gluten-free, dairy-free, peanut-free, tree nut-free, preservative-free, no artificial flavors, zero trans fat.
Does it say taste-free also?
It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to say that.
Okay.
Because that's what it is.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Are those packing peanuts? Or
in my effort to not buy the Cheez-Its, I bought the tasteless cardboard popcorn.
Okay, well, how do you feel now?
Unsatisfied.
Still hungry. Still hungry, yes. Baseball news when we come back to Gary and Chandler.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Hey, remember that Twitter hack that went after Biden and Obama and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, and it involved Bitcoin and everyday Americans sending these high-profile people Bitcoin They have a teenager in jail for this hack. He's from Tampa. His name is Graham Clark. He's 17. He looks like a school shooter in his mugshot. No, I mean 110%. This is a troubled kid.
In Oregon, they said it was a relatively peaceful night. There were very few federal agents to be seen. Oregon State Police took the point on the assignment to provide security at the courthouse, the federal courthouse, after the Trump administration agreed to at least draw down many of the federal agents that are there. So that's good.
Remember Johar Tsarnaev?
Boston Marathon bomber.
That's right. A federal appeals court just overturned his death sentence.
Oh, wow.
Three-judge panel of the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston issued the decision more than 6 months after arguments were heard in the case. His lawyers had argued that intense media coverage had made it impossible to have a fair trial in Boston. This was the attack in April of 2013 that killed three people, injured more than 260 more. He was convicted on 30 charges, including conspiracy and use of a weapon of mass destruction.
So they'll redo a penalty phase.
Yeah.
Well, we know today that there had to be a couple of game cancellations. One of them was a surprise, and that was the St. Louis Cardinals at the Milwaukee Brewers because of the COVID. Ryan Burrow is joining us live from Chicago with the latest on this. Do we know yet who tested positive on the Cardinals?
We don't know, but we know that this is ruining my fantasy football team, or fantasy baseball team. All of these games that are getting postponed and pushed back, it's not working out well for me. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, we've got now, you've got all of the Phillies, Blue Jays games postponed through the weekend after some Phillies members tested positive. We know about the Miami Marlins situation. Over 17 players and staff members have tested positive for that team, so they're not playing this weekend. The Cardinals had two people inside of their organization, we don't know who, tested positive, so they are keeping them held quarantine inside of a Milwaukee a hotel right now. They're still hoping to get tomorrow's game off at Miller Park, or I can't even remember what they're calling it now. I don't think it's Miller this season. But anyways, they're supposed to play tomorrow and then have a doubleheader on Sunday. But obviously, they're testing everyone and making sure that those tests come back negative before anyone steps out onto the field. So everything's kind of up in the air right now with those games coming into this weekend.
You're a sports fan. We've talked to you many times, even though we didn't intend to. We've talked about sports and football, et cetera. How do you think things are going for Major League Baseball? Are we going to get through this season?
Not good, right? We've got four teams already impacted. Well, actually three with positive tests at this time. But then when you start factoring in all the teams they're playing and the retesting and series that are canceled, in just the first week to 10 days, this has not been a great start, especially when you turn to the NBA, which began last night and will continue on tonight. Remember, they're doing the bubble season where they're living in Orlando and they're only going from the hotel to the practice court to the game court and really nowhere in between. The NHL is about to do that in two locations in Canada, and they haven't seemingly had any positive COVID tests for a while. But baseball is being allowed to move freely inside of their regions, to travel, to go home, to sleep in their own beds, which, you know, is part of what this experiment is about. And unfortunately for baseball, it hasn't worked out well in this first week, as we've seen three teams go down. What the NFL will do, that's a great question, because I'm sure that the football, not only the professionals, but the college levels are taking a look at this and seeing what's working and what's not. Could we see bubble cities for football? It's quite possible, just based on what we've seen over the last 12 days here.
And you will. I think you will. I think your point is that the NBA bubble is working, and traveling like you would in a normal season, even if you're sticking to your region, is not working, at least to some extent. And the NFL is going to do whatever it takes to move forward with a season because of the almighty dollar. They're going to figure it out.
There's so many bodies to move in the NFL, and such big stadiums, you know, and so much staff. And you know, you just have a feeling that basketball is one thing when you've got a roster of 12 guys and maybe cut out some of the trainers and you can do it all in you know, a few hotels. But football is just such a different beast. So I think they'd have to have a few bubble cities probably if they were going to try to pull that off.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Football in the bubbles. I mean, you could do it here. You got SoFi Stadium that's waiting to have an opening day. All right, Ryan, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Ryan Breaux there with the latest from Chicago. He mentioned Miller Park, the name of it. It's going to change next season to American Family Field. That's all. But it's not until next season.
All right, coming up next, looks like Ellen listens to the show. She has issued a statement like we told her to do. And also, how about this? Let's find some joy in your chance at $1,000.
Oh, that is a good, joyful thing.
Nick, did you put the old catfish nuggets in the oven?
Yeah, they're heating as we speak.
Do you really have the Justice Magic sauce?
We sure do.
Excellent.
Watermelon sugar.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Just going through these catfish nuggets. Nick, you've outdone yourself yet again.
Those top 3, 4, 5, they're all really good.
They're all great. Well, the rumors continue to pour out of the Ellen show, and they're not good. Workplace has been described as toxic, hostile. There have been harassment claims, bad executive producers, and rumors about Ellen being a freaking monster. And not a lot of people come into her defense as these reports leak out.
Not even her. In fact, that's one of the questions we asked the other day was, how come she hasn't put out a statement? Well, Jason Nathanson, our friend from the Hollywood Hot Tub, is joining us. And J-Nat, I understand that... You may even have your hands on the letter that Ellen DeGeneres wrote to the staff.
I do have my hands. They're hot. The hot hands.
Okay.
Hot
I
letter.
Thought that maybe right. You would have turned your hot tub into a cold tub, considering it's 147 degrees.
No, I like to swim in it.
Ooh.
I like to
marinate.
Marinate, yeah.
Oh, God.
Get all the juices going.
Okay.
Thank you for being what? Seven with me.
Yeah. What? I just like when Gary gets uncomfortable.
Me too.
Hey, what did Ellen say in this letter to her people?
Ellen said in this letter, she sent an email to staff yesterday, and this is in regards to the BuzzFeed articles, a new one, which just dropped yesterday, actually, after this letter came out. Ellen says that basically over her time in creating the show, she told everybody on the first day that her first meeting that she wanted the Ellen DeGeneres show to be a place of happiness. No one would ever raise their voice. Everyone would be treated with respect. Obviously, she says some things have changed, and I'm disappointed to learn this has not been the case. Which is interesting because that means that, sure, she's saying at least that she's learning about all of this behavior now. She hasn't heard about it before. But she says her name's on the show, she's at the top, so she takes responsibility for any problems people might have had for creating this toxic workplace. And, I mean, it's worth noting that she hasn't necessarily been accused of anything directly. It's mostly been her top producers. But they're the ones who carry out the show under, theoretically, her orders. And so she's the one at the top. She takes responsibility for all this stuff and apologizes.
The other question that we had the other day was, where are all of her friends coming to her defense here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. One person who is taking a shot at her is Brad Garrett, who is comedian, everybody loves Raymond, very funny guy, been on a bunch of things, been on the Ellen show 6 times. He tweeted, sorry, but it comes from the top. Says the Ellen show, Ellen, you know, he knows more than one who were treated horribly by her. Common knowledge. DeGeneres, and then goes on to link the article to Variety and some of the other places. And I have to say, yeah, I've heard rumblings about this as well. People who have worked on the show who haven't had the greatest experience. I'm nothing specific from stuff that I know, but it's kind of one of those open secrets that it's a tough place to work.
Well, there was a report out today about one of the executive producers, how he was handsy with some people.
Yeah, that's one of the new article from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed was the one that broke this originally. And in this new article from them, they talked to 36 former employees. And one of them said, or a couple of them at least said, they talk about the executive producer and head writer, Kevin Lehman, who was getting, like you said, handsy with people. One guy said that he asked him if he could perform some sex acts on him at a company party in 2013. Another said that they saw Lehman grab somebody in the pants area. And, you know, that's not the greatest.
Pants area? What are you, nine?
I couldn't come on. Do you want me to say the word suit area? Yeah. Do you want me to say the word?
No.
I'll say the word.
Just say hotspot.
Exactly.
You guys, you can say penis.
Whoa, geez.
It's science.
Come on now. What?
It's science.
I don't like that word. Then another former employee said that she saw Lehman grope a production assistant in a car and kiss his neck. Lehman, by the way, has denied all of this, I believe. And Warner Media, when the original article came out, they said that they were going to investigate. They put out a statement kind of in conjunction with Ellen's email yesterday saying that they had investigated and they did find some problems at the show. Not all of the stuff that was substantiated, but they did find some issues and there would be staffing changes, which I guess means firings. But we haven't heard anything about that yet.
All right. What are you going to do this weekend? What are you going to watch?
What am I going to watch? I'm going to finish watching Ted Lasso, which is coming out on Apple TV Plus in a couple weeks. Jason Sudeikis doing a character that he started to promote soccer a couple years ago. He did these little videos with his character, Ted Lasso, who became a soccer coach in the UK. Very funny stuff, but it was kind of a skit. And I wasn't sure if this would work as an actual show. The show itself is fantastic. It is really, really good. So you should check that out when that comes out on Apple TV Plus.
Ted Lasso. All right.
Ted Lasso.
And can you explain this Beyonce thing to me? Because I don't get it.
It's a visual album, and that it takes the soundtrack that she made for The Lion King last year and turns it into a kind of reinterpretation of the story of The Lion King using videos, fashion, music, culture and all those kinds of things to tell this story in a different way. And it's Beyonce. So, I mean, you know, fans of hers are going to watch it. I mean, the Twitter's already going crazy about it. There's gifts galore when it comes to this thing. Lemonade, which was the last thing she did a visual album for a couple of years ago, was fantastic. I was riveted by it and I didn't expect to be, didn't know what it was going into it and thought it was fascinating. So I expect this one to be the same.
Did you clean up your vinegar yet?
The vinegar is clean, yes. The housekeeper came today to finish the job that I did really poorly. The floors were very sticky after that earthquake yesterday, and from the vinegar, Gary and Shannon.
Oh.
Whoa. This is a family show.
Yeah.
That's why I said it was from the vinegar.
All right. Jason, thank you. Enjoy your hot tub time, and we will speak soon.
I will be marinating. Watermelon
sugar. When we come back, our 9 news nuggets you need to know. All of the great stories and some of these, Nick, you've outdone yourself. Let's get those nuggets, shall we?
Let's get those dipping sauces out. Don't need no sheets. We can just close the door, my baby. I can take you places you ain't been before. Soon as we get there, baby, you'll be coming back for more. Cause if it ain't good enough, baby.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. 92 is our Flashback Friday here. Jacob, you were negative how many years old in 1992?
Three.
Negative three.
Negative three.
It's a good year.
I wish I was there.
Well, if you close your eyes, you still are. It's time for our 9 news nuggets you need to know. These are the stories that Nick, for some reason, didn't think warranted their own segment. So we cram them all into a couple of segments. We call them the 9 news nuggets. Here's the honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Not supposed to mention.
When the time was right.
It's never a policy not to mention it.
It's been an honor serving with you all.
Didn't I mention it?
What an honor it is.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Great and honorable Moses.
So today we're holding auditions to become the newest member of Honorable Mention.
I learned about the anglerfish for the first time this morning. Few animals are more bizarre than the anglerfish, and if you want nightmares, Google image this species. This species has so much trouble finding a mate that when the male and female do connect underwater, the males fuse their tissue with the females for life. After the merger, they share a single respiratory and digestive system.
There is something, you use the word bizarre, there's something so gross about this, and I don't even know if that's the right word, that it makes me feel physically ill. And I don't mean just the laying down your life for a year to mate for the life of the, no. I mean, this is the ugliest creature you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And the males don't actually have fully formed gonads until they meet, mate, and connect with the female.
That makes sense.
And even better for the ladies, I suppose, these dudes are hanging off of her for the rest of her life. I mean, if they don't find a female to connect with, they die.
Yeah.
So they could get two or three or four males hanging off of her through the course of her life.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You did a deep dive on that. They can be 3.5 feet long.
And just a bunch of...
Gross.
Dudes just hanging on.
Stop. Number nine. Gross.
I did 9 plays. If a cop's dirty, 9 times out of 10, his partner's dirty, too.
And I speak 9 languages.
I stay up till 9 o'clock.
Basically, everybody at table 9.
I feel ready to go another 9 in.
Niner. Did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
How does this happen?
Rhode Island tax officials sent out tax refund checks. 176 of them. Appeared to be signed by Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney.
How does that happen?
I don't know, but they said it was a technical glitch that resulted in the names of Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse going into individuals and businesses.
Is that somebody who works in the Rhode Island Department of Revenue losing their mind and saying, I know what I'll do. I'll sign all the checks Mickey Mouse.
They do say that they use those names on some dummy checks for internal testing, but the test image files were mistakenly assigned to the real checks, resulting in the error. Okay, well, that's how that happens, I suppose. Number 8.
It would be great if you could make a figure 8.
A child is born every 8 seconds.
Listening to 8 different bosses drone on about mission statements.
8 amazing nights.
Don't launder your money. Literally, don't launder it. Don't put it in the washing machine.
Somebody in South Korea tried to do that. 50,000 won in a washing machine earlier this year. Some of the money was so seriously damaged that she couldn't get it. She couldn't get it back. They reached out to the Bank of Korea to find out if it could be exchanged for new bills, and they said, sorry, lady. The number of 50,000 won bills the bank exchanged was half value is 507. She said the bank doesn't count the number of bills that it cannot exchange because the damage is too big.
Somebody else tried to put the bills in the microwave to get rid of the COVID as well.
That's very,
also
very
not
smart.
A good idea.
Shannon's favorite is number 7.
The seventh son of the seventh son.
One for 7 days.
With the government. Sector 7.
Guy 7.
7 a.m.
7 years of college down the drain.
7 days. 7 days.
Morgan sent us this story. It's from CNN, and the headline is this. Human sperm roll like playful otters as they swim, study finds, contradicting century-old beliefs.
Some guy from Holland named Antony van Leeuwenhoek invented a new compound microscope and accidentally discovered the existence of bacteria. They say accidentally.
That's cool.
What was not so accidental is that he was looking at his own sperm under that same microscope.
Hey, I wonder what this looks like.
Oh, okay. Dudes are the sick ones. He did it for science.
He found out that the tails of the sperm move around like a snake or an eel swimming in water. But upon further reflection, in recent research shows that he was wrong, that it looks like the tail only moves in one direction. And so the sperm figured out that it's got to roll around like the otter to go forward. Otherwise, it would just go in a circle and it wouldn't make its way to the egg. So the sperm actually figured it all out. If I want to get to that egg, I've got to roll around instead of just swim normally.
Hermes Gadella, the head of the Polymaths Lab at the University of Bristol Department of Engineering Mathematics, says, sperm are very cheeky little creatures. If you want to see the real beating of the tail, you need to move with the sperm and rotate the sperm. You're going to need to make a camera really tiny, stick it to the head of the sperm.
We didn't need that quote.
Tough.
Number six.
I got six, you got six, she got six.
Number six.
See, there's six more weeks to winter.
Why do you have a picture of me, a rabbi, and six drunken longshoremen?
Why don't we just stick her in a nursing home closer to us so I don't have to drive 6 hours?
Drink another six pack.
Number six.
Well, sometimes you take the early flight home from San Diego and you spot a couple of new people in your house. This is what happened to a woman from Florida. She is a flight attendant. She got home earlier than expected. Walks into the house at 11 p.m. and discovers her husband engaged in sex with another woman.
Aha!
So she punched her spouse. She took his acoustic guitar and smashed it against the wall. Mm. And she was arrested, which is baloney.
What do you mean?
Why should she be arrested? He's the one that made her crazy by cheating.
I don't know if that's going to fly in terms of...
I think it's an excellent defense.
All right, fine. Okay, I
get it. What do you think your wife would do to you?
She wouldn't do anything.
She wouldn't do anything?
Because I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
And she's not a flight attendant. Wait, which part of the story are we talking about?
All right, we will get into our remaining catfish nuggets when we get back.
Watermelon sugar.
Like, we don't hear it enough.
I'm just saying, it's just stuck in your head. It's going to be a long weekend.
Yes, it is.
Whenever we touch like this, whenever I touch your lips, baby, my heart beats faster by the minute. Whenever I kiss your face, oh yeah, you know I want you right here, I want you right now.
Well, this is going to take off.
Say that.
Health officials say a teenager in the Central Valley is the state's first child to die from coronavirus.
Ah, we've seen that before.
No other information, though, about the underlying health issues, which I'm sure will accompany that.
Well, remember, there was a 17-year-old in Lancaster who died in March that they said was coronavirus, right, and then never said anything again. In fact, that kid, this 13-year-old kid, the twin who died, remember, they said he tested negative, but that they think, at least the family did, that he died from coronavirus. All right.
We've got another fire.
Another one. Another one?
Another one.
Another one. This is in Sunland. Brush fire. That it's burning at a moderate speed.
It's going to be a rough, rough weekend. All right, we're in the middle of our 9 news nuggets you need to know. The stories that fell through the cracks, number 5.
For 5 minutes!
I have 5 rules.
We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
5 little monkeys.
This is the year 5.5.
I'm leaning on type 5 for Anaheim.
Do me a favor and lose 5 pounds immediately.
Well, it looks like 11 French birds were found dead on the eve of the Tour de France.
Zutelo.
In a suspected poisoning.
The Tour de France of pigeon racing. The president of the French Pigeon Fanciers Club, Philippe Audon, described these within the racing community who had taken glee from the incident as vultures, parasite. These 11 birds found dead. They're not quite sure why. They suspect poisoning at this point. But the Club de l'International François is urgently withdrawing its 2,000 birds from the Blue Ribbon event, citing concerns about safety and the fairness in the competition for all.
What does this have to do with the Tour de France?
It's not. It's the Tour de France of pigeon racing.
Oh, I'm like, do the pigeons pose a problem for the
They were getting
cyclists?
Caught in the spokes.
Is this like a runway situation where you've got to put things up to get birds to stay away? Number four.
4 minutes.
He's probably on his fourth tranquilizer by now.
Commandment number four.
There goes the Fourth Amendment.
This isn't the same world you left 4 years ago, sir.
I love this.
Carol Scarzella of Lackawanna, New York, passed away recently.
She died as she lived, hating Tom Brady.
Oh, my gosh. In her obituary, Scarzella Carol entered into rest July 19th, 2020. Beloved mother of Norma and Remo. Cherished grandmother and on and on and on. Things about Carol. She loved to read. She loved to smoke. She smoked millions of cigarettes.
I love her.
She loved slot machines and Facebook games.
Mom?
She never won. Number four, she was an avid sports fan. She loved the New York Yankees and LeBron James. She hated, all caps, she hated Tom Brady.
She made it to the millionth level on Candy Crush. What a great obit.
Number three.
Three shall be the number thou shalt count. And the number of the counting shall be three.
They were dead within 3 hours.
Three.
Security clearance level three.
All three of you.
Three.
I got all three of you guys for the rest of your natural-born lives.
After about 3 days, they both start to stink.
Three.
George Bates is a wheelchair basketball player. And he's thinking about amputating his legs so he can continue his career internationally.
Well, the International Wheelchair Basketball Foundation changed their classification criteria about what qualifies you to be a Paralympic athlete. And George Bates, who has something called complex regional pain syndrome after he had a football injury when he was 11 years old. So he's 26 years old, and it's... He says it's that he's been deemed, quote, the wrong kind of disabled.
That doesn't sound very inclusive.
No. But he is classified as a 4.5 player, meaning at the lowest level of impairment permitted under the IWBF rules. After being reclassified, he was eventually deemed ineligible.
Number two.
What's going on, you two?
I don't want to do this one.
One, two.
No.
There's two sons and no women.
Two ringy-dingy.
If you hear a bang from inside your body, that is not good.
Well, this is terrifying because when you sit down to eat dumplings, you murder those dumplings.
Oh,
I mean, you can
God.
Put down 20 to 40 to 50 dumplings. They're delicious.
Everybody knows the root word of dumpling.
I mean, I go to
dump.
I go to Din Tai Fung and I just murder those things.
They see you coming.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, a Chinese man, had a long-term intestinal illness and nearly died after his blocked bowel burst following a hearty dinner. Oh, is that more sauce?
Bowel bursting.
The 63-year-old patient, known only as Mr. Wang, heard a bang coming from inside his body before realizing something had exploded.
Oh, my God.
He felt sharp abdominal pain, uncontrollable sweats, and was rushed to the hospital by his family members.
No.
The bang came from inside his body. He had eaten a big bowl of wontons before he heard these unexpected sounds.
Number one.
We're number one.
You're a number one.
We're number one, Ben. That's all that counts.
I decided to look out for number one.
Are you the number one?
Row number one.
Number one.
Number one.
May we introduce you to a man named Malcolm McDonald.
Just don't shake his hand.
He's 45. He's a mechanic. And he suffered a horrific infection that turned his fingers, toes, and penis black. He said... At one point in 2014, it just dropped off and onto the floor. This is not funny.
Well, you can't live like that.
So now they're building him a new penis on his arm.
Oh, okay.
It's just there on his forearm. There's a picture of him here in the New York Post with it just hanging off.
Oh, boy.
His forearm.
He said that he went to a doctor named the penis master, Professor David Ralph of London's University College Hospital. The arm graft procedure would take a couple of years to actually grow the whole thing. And they said it eventually would allow him to urinate properly, just not perform, you know, the husbandly duties.
He said when it fell off and onto the floor, he picked it up and put it in the bin. I went to the hospital, he says, and they said the best they could do for me was to roll the remaining stump up like a little sausage roll.
So they formed a new manhood using a skin flap on his left arm. They created a urethra and installed two tubes inflated with a hand pump.
Like a little sausage.
Malcolm says, when I saw it on my arm for the first time, I was so proud after everything I had been through. It didn't feel weird at all. It was just part of me. I was like any other man who has a penis growing out of his arm.
Like a little sausage roll.
I'm not going to delve into what.
I was just telling you what the man said.
John and Ken show is coming up next. We'll see you Monday. Stay dry, everybody.
Blessings.
That's it.
That's it. That is it.
Gary and Shannon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.